We have two cases today. The first one is United States v. Mays. Captain Britt, are you prepared to argue on behalf of the appellant? And Lieutenant Colonel Grady, are you prepared to argue on behalf of the government?
Yes, Your Honor.
Please proceed.
Good morning, Chief Judge Olson, members of the court. May it please the court. I request 5 minutes for rebuttal, Your Honor.
Granted.
The Supreme Court has repeated that Congress says what it means and means what it says. For indecent viewing, under Article 120 Charlie, Congress did not say views a visual image of the private area of another person, and accordingly, it's not what Congress meant either. This court...
Captain Rick, can you speak up just a little bit?
Yes, Your Honor.
Maybe there's more folks up here, you know.
Yes, Your Honor. This court should answer the granted issue in the negative because the exclusion of visual images from indecent viewing is supported by, one, the statutory text of Article 120 Charlie A1, two, the broader statutory context, and three, the overall statutory scheme. Turning first to the statutory text, Congress enacted in 120 Charlie A1, the operative language for the purpose of this appeal, views the private area of another person. Now, Congress provided a definition of private area, and while they didn't provide a definition of the term view, its ordinary meaning is simply to look at. So applying this, Congress clearly decided to criminalize looking at the private area or the underwear clad or naked genitalia of another person. But the question then becomes, does that include visual images? And what's conspicuously absent is any reference to visual images. Congress truly did intend to criminalize looking at visual images of private area. They could have put it in there. They could have said, views a private area or a visual image of a private area. They could have also put it into the definition of private area as well and encapsulated that the private area also includes visual images of private areas. But they didn't either.
Now, the CCA, in its opinion, said that below, the defense conceded that if a mirror had been used as compared to a phone, that that would have fit under the statute. Was the CCA correct in stating that?
No, Your Honor. I looked back at the briefs that were filed, I re-listened to the argument, and there was no actual concession that was made in that regard.
So what was the discussion there that caused the CCA to conclude that there had been a concession on that point?
There was some discussion about mirrors or binoculars, and it was conditioned that maybe under those contexts, but it also wasn't part of the issue in the case, was how it was phrased. And if I can kind of clarify that for Your Honor, I think there's three ways of looking at this. There's what you would traditionally think of as direct viewing, direct line of sight between eyes in a private area, using some form of indirect viewing, what the government would call binoculars, or mirrors, which would use the refraction or reflection of light. And then there's a third category, which would be visual images. And these could all be differently analyzed. Now, the first, direct viewing, absolutely covered by 120 Charlie. Mirrors and binoculars, refraction, maybe.
Wait a minute. You're saying that there is some question in your mind if binoculars were used, that would fit under the statute?
It's not so much that there's a question in my mind, Your Honor. I don't think that it's operative. It's not dispositive of the issue here because there's...
Well, that may be true, but in trying to figure out what this text means, it is worthwhile to pursue this. So what is your position right now in regard to binoculars?
Your Honor, it is more likely that it would be captured because Congress just used the term view. They didn't include explicitly direct view, indirect view. They didn't say view by any means. They didn't use this broad and expansive language. Would it likely be covered? Yes, Your Honor.
So what would be the distinction between using binoculars and using eyeglasses? Are you saying there's some reason to think that Congress meant that people who didn't need eyeglasses could be charged under this statute, but people who did have eyeglasses could not be?
No, Your Honor, and I think this gets to the ordinary meaning of these terms.
Well, it gets to the point of whether you're drawing distinctions that don't make a difference, actually. Now, let's address the issue of mirrors. So, again, there's some question in your mind that if a person were to hold up a mirror over the shower stall to look at the private parts of the person below, that that would not be covered by the statute?
There's not a question in my mind as to whether or not it would be covered, Your Honor.
So then how are you drawing this distinction? You're saying at the outset of your argument in your brief that there's a distinction between someone looking at private parts and someone looking at the image of private parts. If we have a mirror, that person is not looking at the private parts, they're looking at an image, correct?
No, Your Honor, I don't think that they would be looking at an image.
But they're not looking at the private parts under that scenario. They're looking at some other object that reflects the private parts.
I think the important distinction here, Your Honor, is Congress cognizes this idea of a visual image. Not included within a visual image is a mirror, something that's reflected light or something that's refracted light through a lens. That's not covered by the term visual image, but Congress specifically recognizes that there's this idea of a visual image of something, something that is constituted from data potentially, as it was in this case, something that's redisplayed as pixels on a screen, as something that's distinguishably different from when light hits a mirror or when light goes through a lens or when light goes directly to your eyes. And because Congress draws that distinction,
So where is Congress drawing that distinction? As you noted, the word view, we have to look at the normal meaning of that. It's to look at, to see. If I'm holding a mirror or a phone and contemporaneously seeing the private parts, what are you pointing to that indicates that Congress did not intend for that action to be covered by the statute?
Well, Your Honor, it's because you're not actually looking at the private parts.
And that's why I was getting to the distinction with the mirror. I'm not looking at, from the way you're examining it, I'm not looking at the private parts, I'm looking at the mirror. If you're saying that a mirror does not apply, your argument holds. It seems that if a mirror somehow is covered, then why would a cell phone not?
Because I don't agree that you're looking at the mirror in that context. I think if you look at direct viewing as a form of light striking an object and that light going into your eye, and that's how you see things, it works the same way with a mirror, whether it's going through a vacuum, whether it's going through the air, whether it's striking an object and reflecting into your eye, whether it's going through a lens and bending into your eye. In all of those circumstances, it's the light hitting the object going into your eyes.
So when Congress is crafting legislation like this, they need to pull in scientists to talk to them about optic nerves and how things work with cell phones and the type of cell phone, whether it's fiber optic or something else?
They don't, Your Honor, but they provide special cognizance of visual images, and that's why this should change, this definition should deviate, why we should look at the broader statutory context, the entire statutory scheme. We should look how Congress has used other terms to qualify certain things that they didn't choose to qualify here with viewing.
What would be the harm, societal or personal, if this court were to decide that indeed if you contemporaneously are looking at an image from the cell phone of private parts, and that's your intention, that in fact it's covered by this statute? What's the parade of horribles that would follow from that?
That we're reading language into a statute that Congress didn't say, Your Honor. I think that's the whole.
So Congress needed to say, if they wanted to have a cell phone be included here, Congress would need to say that.
In light of everything else that they said, Your Honor, in the remainder of 120 Charlie, in 120 Bravo, and in 117 Alpha, Your Honor, yes.
So would Congress need to go through all the other statutes with a fine-toothed comb and determine whether technology has changed it, whether it's a landline telephone, cell phone, computers, or anything?
I mean, potentially, Your Honor, because we analyze the text of statutes from the time in which they were passed. So if technology has so greatly evolved in some way that it escaped the capture, then Congress might have to revisit statutes in that sense. But I don't think that there is a gap here.
So we have to freeze statutes at the moment in time that they're passed?
No. I think they can have broad enough language to cover certain issues, even unanticipated matters that could still be covered by specifically broad language, but that specifically broad language does not appear in this statute, Your Honor.
Captain Bridge, I'm sorry. Chief, were you finished? Okay. I just want to make sure that I didn't lose the thread in your argument. Because you're drawing a distinction between direct and indirect viewing. So are you saying that any indirect viewing falls outside of the ambit of 120C?
Certainly not, Your Honor.
Okay. All right.
This idea of... Sorry, Your Honor.
I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead and finish.
But do please speak up.
Yes, Your Honor. So this idea of direct viewing versus indirect viewing, whether there's a contemporaneous time requirement, whether indirect viewing includes lenses, mirrors, or visual images, this is all language not present within the statute. I think to draw clean lines, we just need to look at to view and object. And the object to view that Congress chose was private area, not visual image or private area. And then we ask ourselves, is there a cognizable difference between viewing a private area or viewing a visual image of a private area? That's not a mirror. That's not a lens. Congress provided a definition in 117 alpha as to what a visual image is, and it provides that when data can be reconstituted into a picture, when it's a digital image, all of those things are visual images. And that's exactly what we have here.
So, Counsel, my issue here is you're laser focused on Section A1 of Article 120B, right, which is just views. But if we go to A2, then we're talking about photographs, videotapes, films, or records, right? So it seems like if a service member held their phone up and recorded someone and then 10 seconds later watched it, that would fall within A2 because they've recorded something and that would, right? So, and you're saying, you're focusing on what A1 and saying viewing has to be direct viewing, can't be indirect viewing. Well, in my mind, that creates a kind of weird gap that you've got direct viewing but not, viewing using technology instantaneously. That would fall out of the statute. But then any kind of recording, taking a video, taking a photograph, would fall within the statute. It just falls within the second provision of the statute instead of the first. So that's how you think Congress intended this, that direct viewing would fall under A1, indirect instantaneous viewing is not criminal, and then any kind of recording would fall under A2.
No, Your Honor. I'm not saying that any type of instantaneous recording is non-criminal. I think that there is an argument that has not been resolved by any court that it could fall under A2 as well. And I think to hold otherwise could actually lead to an absurd result. When you look at the reasonable expectations of privacy that talk about when somebody would disrobe when they didn't believe that an image, a visual image of them was being captured, if we only provided a permanent recording context to A2, then they would say that if it was a live stream scenario, they couldn't have a reasonable expectation of privacy. So I think reasonably you could interpret A2 to cover live streams as well, that when somebody is instantaneously capturing in the camera sensor of a device and then redisplaying it elsewhere, potentially on the screen of the same device, that could constitute an indecent recording under the broad language of a recording by any means as Congress provided.
So your argument isn't that there's a gap between A1 and A2. Your argument is that this was just misproperly charged, that the government wanted to charge this offense. They should have charged it under A2 and then argued to the panel that it was recorded because it was recorded in the phone's memory, even if it was only for milliseconds, and then redisplayed from the memory of the phone onto the screen.
Yes, Your Honor. And there's not extensive legislative history on any of this. So whether it is a gap or whether Congress intended for it to fall under A2, while that might not be entirely unclear, it's not unprecedented that 120 Charlie had gaps when Congress passed it. That was the point of Article 117 Alpha, was to gap fill something that 120 Charlie should have covered but didn't cover at the time. So whether Congress thinks it fits under A2 or Congress wanted it essentially created a gap, it still falls out of the text of A1.
Counsel, can I switch gears? Your client's been convicted of attempted unlawful viewing. And let's suppose we answer the granted question in your favor, and we say looking at an image doesn't violate 120C. But wasn't there legally sufficient evidence for the military judge to conclude that all the elements of attempt were there, that he had an intent to view the private parts, and he took a substantial step towards doing that? He went into the restroom and he went up to the shower stall. Now, his means of doing it wouldn't have succeeded under your theory because he was just looking at it in an image, or at least that means of doing it. But wasn't there sufficient evidence just to simply find that he attempted to view the private parts even though he didn't succeed in doing it?
No, Your Honor, and I see my time is expiring. May I?
Please answer the question.
It's a legal impossibility of his specific intent is to look at a visual image.
How do we know that that's his specific intent? The military judge found him guilty, but the military judge have determined his specific intent was to view the genitals?
Because the posture is based on the Army Court's decision here for how appellant is presenting the issue to this court. So if there was an alternative theory, would request this court remand it to the Army Court to ferret out additional facts. But as they held,
we would remand it to the Army Court. We might find it legally sufficient under a different theory, but we'd still have to remand it for factual sufficiency under a different theory.
Potentially for factual sufficiency, Your Honor. Yes.
Thank you.
More questions from the bench? Seeing none, thank you, Captain Britt.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Lieutenant Colonel Grady.
Good morning, Chief Judge Olson, members of the court. May it please the court. I am Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Grady, and I, along with Major Kaylin Schluter, represent the United States. This court should find appellant's two attempted indecent viewing convictions legally sufficient for three reasons. First, the plain meaning of the verb views captures seeing the private area of another in real time through the camera feature of one's cell phone while being a mere step away. Second, the statutory context, structure, and previous history of Article 120C supports criminalizing the high-tech viewing that occurred in this case. And third, appellant's interpretation would lead to inconsistent results.
Counsel, can we focus on the real-time aspect? Because it's almost real-time, but it's not exactly real-time. I mean, the cell phone is refreshing at maybe 60 frames a second or something like that. So if you're looking at the image, that image might be a few milliseconds old. So it's not actually real-time. Does your argument depend on it being actually real-time?
Your Honor, regardless of whether it's actual real-time or there's a slight delay, the main point is it was contemporaneous or in real-time or live stream. So, for example, even if you're directly viewing the private area with your own eyes, there's probably a slight delay of getting the image to your retina and having your brain decode it. So even with direct viewing, there may be a hundredth of a second slight delay, similar to perhaps a slight delay. But the main point is that appellant could simultaneously or in real time or contemporaneously view the private area of the victims, assuming he wasn't interrupted in the fashion that he was in this case. And that really goes back to the plain meaning of the term views. Obviously, Congress did not define views, and so this court gives it its ordinary application. And I think two examples highlight the ordinary application of that. First is, let's imagine that this argument is occurring virtually, and so it's occurring over Microsoft Teams or Zoom or some other video platform. This court would be viewing me in addition to listening to the argument. And second example is, think about court martials that occur throughout the United States and the world. Whenever trial and defense counsel published an exhibit on an ELMO, the panel members will view that in real time, even if they are not technically viewing the object on the ELMO. And that notion is reinforced by this court's decisions in both King and Ferguson. In King, this court found that but for the appellant's stepdaughter's refusal to lift her shirt, the appellant in that case would have viewed her breasts, and that was upheld as an attempted indecent act under the predecessor to now 120C. And same in Ferguson, where this court found that an appellant that was ejaculating in real time to what he thought was a 14-year-old boy who ended up being an undercover detective was observable by members of the public in public view, and they upheld the providency to that plea. So the point of all this, Your Honors, is that there is a spectrum of conduct that 120C covers, from direct eyes-on viewing, which includes if someone wears contact or glasses to enhance that viewing, to mirrors, to binoculars, to, in this case, using a cell phone in real time through the camera feature, to even think where technology can take us with live streaming capabilities. You can think of soldiers, airmen, sailors, Marines, in their barracks, setting up a live streaming capability to real-time view the private area of another without their consent.
On that point, though, suppose he couldn't see the camera as he held it over the stall, but his goal was to record 15 seconds and then look at it. Would that count?
Your Honor, there you get into a situation almost like Quick and Shea, where appellant was not looking at a real-time image, but looking at a recording. So that is a difference, Your Honor, that we don't have to answer today. But for today's purposes, we know that appellant, based on the evidence in the record, was attempting to view simultaneously when he was on his tiptoes, angled over the shower stall. And in fact, you know, you think of a classical Peeping Tom case as someone in the bushes with binoculars peering into a bedroom window. You know, you really don't need that these days because someone can just bring out their cell phone and zoom in and use their cell phone like binoculars. So that's kind of an antiquated concept of Peeping Tom. Second, I want to turn to the structure, the context, the previous history of Article 120C. And when you look and examine 120C, it's really miscellaneous provisions dealing with sexual contact. It's not a unitary provision. So, for example, there's five offenses within 120C: indecent viewing, visual recording, broadcasting, forcible pandering, and indecent exposure. Now, two of those five do not have anything to do with technology, which is forcible pandering and compelling someone to engage in prostitution acts. And indecent exposure, at least as it relates to adults, is focused on, you know, live displays of genitalia at, like, the post exchange, for example, and to prevent those embarrassing displays of genitalia. So that's where appellants, you know, trying to point to Article 117 alpha is just not, it fails because, again, 120C is just miscellaneous provisions put in there. And then when you examine 120C specifically, you'll see that it goes from the very broadest provision, which is 120C A1, which is viewing in this case, to recording, and then to broadcasting, and you'll see that it gets more narrower as you go down those three options, and that's because the privacy violations are higher. You know, obviously seeing someone in the bathroom in this situation is a privacy violation, but then recording it so that it can be reproducible and brought up at a later time is a further privacy violation, and then broadcasting and distributing it to others is an even more privacy violation, which is likely why the president has higher maximum punishments for those offenses.
Counsel, on those three provisions, what is your response to appellant's argument? If I don't mean to mischaracterize it, but what I understand him saying is perhaps appellant's actions were criminal. But if they were, it wouldn't have been under A1, it would have been under A2, because, you know, in a very technical sense, the images might have been recorded by the phone and then displayed from the phone's memory to the screen.
Right. Your Honor, the problem with that argument is that recording, as the President defines it, talks about capturing or recording an image. Here, there is nothing, and if you go back and just look at the Oxford definition of recording, it talks about having something that's reproducible in a permanent format. In this case, there was not anything that was reproducible in a permanent format. There was nothing captured so that someone could go back later to view it, which is the point of recording. So while it's easy for appellant to say what I did was recording or broadcasting, I'm sure future appellants would have an issue with that. And the issue is because it's not recording, because there is nothing permanently to go back to. And the same with broadcasting and distributing it. Distributing says, you know, transfer of one to another. And even transmit, if you look at the Oxford definition, it talks about causing it to be passed on from one person to another. Here, appellant didn't transfer it or pass it along to anybody else. He just passed it on to himself. And there's a term for that, which is viewing, which is exactly what 120C A1 covers. So that argument fails, Your Honor, because there was nothing permanently recorded by appellant to go back to look at later, and there was no broadcast or distribution to a third party. In fact, if you even look at the history of 120C, it came from Article 120T12, which is the first attempt at Congress to create a peeping statute in the military. And if you carefully compare those versions, I think it's at 95 of the Joint Appendix, you'll see that at first Congress used the term observe versus view, and at least my check of observe and Merriam-Webster dictionary is inspect or to watch carefully. So that's a little bit narrower than viewing, which is we have here. And then, of course, the previous version required specific body parts, whereas nowadays under 120C, it can be the underwear clad genitalia and anus or nipple. And you also have the creation of broadcasting and distributing. So if anything, Your Honor, you have this offense being broadened over time with the changes in 2012, which supports the government's argument. But most importantly, getting to the third point, is just the inconsistent line that appellant draws between direct viewing, mirrors, binoculars, and then what happened in this case, all the way to live streaming capabilities. And the point of that is that this court has a duty to provide the interpretation with the greatest harmony and least inconsistency. And here, you would have inconsistencies if, you know, direct viewing, such as what occurred in Nicola and Lewis, you know, opening a shower curtain and peering with your own eyes, that's obviously indecent viewing. But here, where taking appellant's interpretation to the extreme, you know, future soldiers can open the shower curtain, and as long as they have their phone in between their eyes and the victim, that would not be indecent viewing, which, again, is an inconsistent reading that's not required by the text of the statute and the statutory structure, context, and history of that. And finally, Your Honor, to answer your question about even if this court were to agree with the appellant's interpretation, could you still uphold attempted indecent viewing? And the government would say that you could, because you have the overt act of appellant entering into the bathroom. You have him getting on his tiptoes. You have him trying to use the phone as an advanced mirror, and he was so engrossed in it that he didn't even hear a fellow soldier come into the bathroom and interrupt him, and then he left in a quick fashion. And in that regard, the government would point to Joint Appendix 91 and point to the examples in there where it talks about in soldier who is maybe attempting to murder another, points a weapon, fires it, but unbeknownst, the weapon is defective and does not fire. Or there's another example of a soldier going to commit larceny against the victim, but when they reach into the pocket to take the wallet, there is no wallet there.
Okay, so if we were to adopt that theory, wouldn't we still have to remand it back to the Army Court of Criminal Appeals so they could perform a factual sufficiency review under that theory, given that they affirmed it under a different theory?
Perhaps, Your Honor. I will note that in King, this court went ahead and just affirmed the lesser-included offense of attempted indecent act. Now, that was because also the version in effect, 120T12, indecent acts, was subsequently overcome and enacted by 120C. But this court did do that in that case. It just went ahead and affirmed the lesser-included offense. So I believe the courts could certainly find it legally sufficient and then remand back to the Army Court for a factual sufficiency review. Pending any further questions, the government asks that you find appellant's two attempted indecent viewing convictions legally sufficient.
Thank you, Lieutenant Colonel Grady.
Thank you,
Captain Britt.
Your Honor, the government contends that their version provides the greatest harmony. But the issue with their harmony is it requires reading multiple words into the statute that just aren't there. Now, there's a small step from saying that view is direct view and indirect view, but then there's this idea that indirect view is capturing visual images in it as well. But then in order to make it workable at all, it has to be contemporaneous, or it has to be real time, or it has to be live. Those words aren't in the statute. Those words aren't provided by the statutory text to get to that point that they need to make visual images workable for Article 120, Charlie, Alpha sub 1. And their authority isn't supportive either. The government relies on King, an indecent conduct case, as well as Ferguson, which dealt with the private setting. And while they use the term public view, neither of those cases were actually analyzing what it meant to view and whether or not it captured visual images or didn't. It just happened to in a case involving a child, but it wasn't the issue being presented nor the issue being argued in those cases.
Counsel, I know you don't think that we should read the term real time into the statute as the government suggests, but putting that aside, do you agree with the government's theory that this was in real time?
Your Honor, I think the term real time is a judicial fiction. It is not based upon this statute. And the issue there is Congress isn't drawing lines based upon real time or not real time.
Yeah, I've got that point. And you pointed out that that's not in the statute. But the government suggests we should read this in, and that's a qualification. If you're looking at a phone in real time, my question, though, is this actually real time?
As Your Honor previously said, not necessarily. In the case at instant, it seems like such a very short period of time. It might be a microcosm of time. But not in every case or under every facts would it necessarily be so, depending upon how the data is being relayed, what it's going through, whether it's being intentionally delayed through that process for redisplay, even when it is still in a live context as well. So when something's transferring through an electronic medium, it is not truly, absolutely instantaneous. In addition to Judge Hardy, one of the questions you had asked and followed up with the government on about whether or not this could fall under an indecent recording, I think a hypothetical would kind of expose the issue with the government's case and why they think there's harmony here, which is if you were to use a device which is just a camera and you were to use that camera to capture visual images of somebody's private area and then redisplay it to other people. So you post it online live on Facebook Live for other people to see it, and you impose it upon them through your social media, but you never look at it yourself. You don't have a screen on this device. It's just a camera. What crime have you committed in that context? You didn't view anything. Under the government, you didn't record anything. Under the government, you didn't broadcast anything because it's all live. And that doesn't seem to be what Congress is capturing here either. It makes more sense to provide parity that when Congress says to film, to record by any means, those broad qualifiers that are conspicuously absent from 120 Charlie Alpha Sub 1, when they use these terms, that it would necessarily and potentially could include live stream. And this court can look at Article 117 Alpha for this point, where Congress specifically, in the definition of visual image, includes live streaming, includes non-permanent content for digital film, which is exactly what this is as well. And the definition of broadcast uses visual image, as opposed to the definition of distribution, which requires distribution to another person, but broadcast does not. And as I noted previously, visual image appears also in the statute for the reasonable expectation of privacy. And it wouldn't make sense for a reasonable expectation of privacy only to apply to permanent media. It should also apply to live streaming. There would be no reason for Congress to draw that line. And then finally, to the extent that there's issues in this language, it's not clear one way or the other, there is a true lack of legislative history on any of this. The only thing is the legislative notes on Article 117 Alpha, which adopts quick a 120 Charlie Alpha case. It's actually inserted into the hearing itself. And there's a lot of discussion about what 120 Charlie does or does not cover. And if anything, it favors appellant. And for that reason, at the very least, this court should grant lenity because it can't otherwise if it can't otherwise resolve the ambiguity. Any questions?
Any questions from the bench? Seeing none, thank you, Captain Britt.
Your Honor.
Case is now submitted. The court thanks counsel for both sides. And the court will stand at recess until 10:10.
Court stands at recess until 10:10.